Chapter 32. As Nico slept, Will ran his fingers through his boyfriend's dark hair. He wasn't alarmed that Nico had passed out. He knew Nico would need a serious nap after summoning so many dead. In fact, Will was feeling strangely upbeat and excited. When Nico woke, Will could reveal that, ta-da, he had brought Kit Kat bars. The candy did wonders to help Nico recuperate after shadow travel, so Will had made sure to stow some in his knapsack, carefully sealed in a Ziploc bag labeled, in case of emergency, eat chocolate. He clung to that idea. He could help Nico. He could contribute to this quest. He was more than just a powerless child of sunlight and a death pit of eternal gloom. Because otherwise, he wasn't sure he could handle what was happening to them. They were actually in Tartarus. In every direction, the desolate landscape stretched as far as Will could see, the terrain drenched in the color of blood from the thick, gelatinous clouds that hung overhead. Did it rain here? He did not want to know the answer. Having fallen through those clouds, he did not want to experience their version of a thunderstorm. The plains were pockmarked with craters, as if Tartarus got a lot of meteor strikes. A few hundred feet from the banks of the Acheron, a craggy red hill was covered in sickly orange bubbles, almost like zits. These were the regeneration blisters Nico had told him about, the pus-filled pods from which monsters were reborn. Goosebumps rippled up Will's arms. This place was wrong. When he breathed, the air felt sticky. Not like humidity, more like melted ice cream running down his hand in the summer. And the smell, it made him think of rotten eggs left out in the sun, then blended with dog poop, then put back out into the sun. It also hurt. The air hurt. Will felt a new level of sympathy for young Harley back at Camp Half-Blood, who struggled with asthma. Will wondered if this was how he felt during a severe attack. The idea of standing up, much less hiking across this horrible landscape, was enough to bring Will to tears. Nico stirred. Will thought he might be rousing, but instead he turned and settled again. Will wondered how long he should let him sleep. He felt terribly exposed sitting next to a bright, white boat in an otherwise monotonous red-orange landscape. He wasn't sure what to be on the lookout for, or where danger may come from next. But Nico needed rest. So Will kept watch, and while Tartarus was deep beneath the land of the dead, he discovered it was full of life. In the crimson clouds overhead, something with enormous wings flapped by. A flock of smaller somethings chased after it, fluttering and screeching. In the distant hills, just at the edge of Will's vision, shadows moved across the ridgelines, and Will couldn't help thinking about the packs of slavering wolves Nico had described. Every so often, the land itself grumbled like it had indigestion. Will wouldn't have been surprised if that were the case, given the number of monsters it was constantly spitting out. Somewhere in this nightmarish world, Bob needed their help. Will shivered. He didn't get how this place could be so hot and still make him feel so cold. After a while, his legs started to fall asleep. As gently as possible, he moved Nico's head off his thigh and onto his knapsack. Nico barely stirred. Will stood up and stretched his legs until the pins and needles faded. Exhaustion tugged at the edge of Will's consciousness, but he had to stay awake, and he didn't want to wait around doing nothing. He already felt terrible about how much Nico had been forced to look after him in the underworld. Will wasn't used to that. He was the caretaker and the healer. It was literally his job as a child of Apollo. And yet, all the powers that made up Will's sense of self were so limited here. He couldn't even heal himself effectively. It was only due to rest and Gorgira's kindness that his bleeding had stopped. Speaking of which, he should probably change the bandages, but... He glanced down at Nico, snoring softly and completely unsheltered. Will had another idea. He walked over to the boat. He put his hands on the gunwale, then squatted and gave it an experimental tug. He didn't want to strain himself. Nico would not appreciate it if Will reopened his wounds. but the hull was surprisingly light. It was good nymph workmanship, just like the canoes at camp. Will went to work as quietly as he could. He collected rocks and bones, the plentiful building supplies of Tartarus, and made a low wall near where Nico was lying. The effort left him winded and sweaty, but it felt good to be doing something productive. Finally, he was able to turn over the boat, resting the starboard gunwale lengthwise against his wall. And voila! He had constructed a crude shelter for Nico with an upside-down boat for a roof. It wasn't much better than a lean-to, but if those clouds did decide to rain blood, acid, poison, or some other vile liquid, at least they would have some cover. Will was pleased with himself. He imagined Nico waking up and being amazed. Will could say, "Welcome home, honey!" The idea was so ridiculous it made him feel giggly again, but also warm and satisfied. He tried to hold on to those sensations. Even feelings were hard to come by here, unless they were something akin to despair or anger or fear. Those came easily. And how could they not? Will was in a place that seemed to spend every moment thinking up new ways to kill him. Wasn't that how Annabeth had described Tartarus? For a brief moment, Will wished she and Percy were with him. But then he discarded the thought. He wouldn't wish this place on his worst enemy. And just like that, his despair came creeping back. They had no idea where Bob might be. Their only lead was to find the giant Damison's hut. But it wasn't like there were signposts here in Tartarus for Maniti's suggested trail. No maps or travel guides. Will tried to imagine what a tourist brochure would look like. "Come, visit the geysers of suffering. Free tours of the acid rain fields." He didn't know where to go. His boyfriend was out cold. He didn't know what he was supposed to do aside from build houses out of rocks and boats. And on top of everything else, oh gods, he'd accused Nico of murder, hadn't he? All his deepest grievances and his guilt about Octavian's death had come pouring out when they navigated the Acheron. When Nico woke up, Will would have to apologize. They'd have to talk it through. They could get past it. They had bigger problems to deal with. But Will's disappointment in himself was enough to trigger an emotional landslide. The sheer absurdity of this quest hit him in full force. They never should have come here, at least not without more support. And if, a big if, they somehow managed to find Bob and rescue him, how are they supposed to climb back out of Tartarus? There were so many unknowns. They piled up like the bones Nico had summoned to break their fall. Will knew nothing. All he could do was wait for Nico to wake up and tell him what to do, then lug Will across Tartarus like an overstuffed duffel bag. Heat rushed to his face. He'd been a huge burden on Nico since they'd entered the door of Orpheus, and that wasn't fair. This quest was already a terrible gamble for Nico. He shouldn't have to take care of Will on top of everything else. Will was a counselor, a leader. He was supposed to take the initiative. A thought nudged his mind, just a gentle push in a new direction. He gazed again at the closest hill, dotted with its orange blisters. It was only a few hundred feet away. Will calculated that he could make it to the top and back in less than 5 minutes without Nico ever being out of his sight. At least that would allow him to gather some information, maybe get a better view of their surroundings and find out more about those regeneration pods. As a healer, he had to admit they fascinated him. Who knows? They might have healing applications for demigods. He glanced at the boat one more time, then pulled his hood over his head. He'd have to be quick, but this was doable. Will hummed to himself as he started walking. His legs were still sore, but they weren't that bad. The worst part was the noxious air, coating the inside of his throat and nose every time he breathed. He pulled the drawstrings of his hoodie, yanking it tight enough to form a makeshift mask. That helped a little bit, and it reminded him of feeling like a turtle. Had that been yesterday? How did time pass down here? His aching intensified as he started to climb the hill. The red soil glittered and crunched under his feet like broken glass, and Will decided he didn't dare stumble here. "Keep a lookout," he told himself. "Stay vigilant." He glanced back to check on the boat. He felt a brief stab of anxiety when he didn't see it. But no, the boat was exactly where he'd left it. Nico was safe. Will had just been looking too far downstream. The terrain was so disorienting here. Will would have to remember that. He started up the hill again. As he approached the first regeneration blobs, he realized they were a lot creepier up close. He could see the dark silhouettes of monsters floating inside, and every time they moved, the bubbles pulsated and shook. Nico's description of them, as zits, wasn't quite right. These blisters were more like embryonic sacs, and they were very much alive. Fascinated, Will squeezed himself between two of the pods, trying his best not to make contact. A terrible heat emanated from the protrusions, and he stopped to remove his hoodie and stuff it into his knapsack. After a few more steps, he realized that the pods were clustered more densely toward the summit, which made climbing really hard. Still, he had to keep going. A few more feet and he should have a much better view of their surroundings. He was almost to the top when he slipped on a patch of loose gravel. His back heel slid straight through the membrane of a pod. It was easily the grossest sensation Will had ever felt, like stepping in a rotten pumpkin that happened to be filled with battery acid. He pulled his foot free, but the yellowish goo had coated his shoe and was smoking against his bare shin. He yelped and kicked, then pulled out a sleeve of his hoodie and used it to wipe away as much of the goo as possible. Unfortunately, his shin was already red and blistering. So much for the goo having healing applications. He had no time to recover, though. From the punctured blister, something small, dark, and slimy clawed its way out of the fluid. It lifted its sticky head and let loose a terrible squawk. Will froze. "You're kidding me!" Because he recognized that celestial bronze beak, those beady red eyes, those razor-sharp feathers, he was face to face with the goo-covered Stymphalian bird. The demon bird cocked its head as it studied Will. It cooed a normal pigeony coo, that is. Then tapped the ground with its beak. "Nice, birdie." Will held up his palm. He meant it as a gesture of peace, but belatedly, he worried he might be signaling here. "Exposed flesh to eat. Stay right there." The bird cooed again, then hopped closer to Will. He pulled his knees to his chest. His heart was hammering, but he tried to stay calm. "Sorry if I woke you early. Really, I love demon pigeons. You're cute, aren't you, buddy?" The bird screeched, a sound like metal nails on a chalkboard, and then leaped at Will. He kicked at it and rolled sideways, but when he got to his feet and crouched in a defensive stance, the bird was nowhere to be seen. Will scanned the hill, certain that the bird would swoop down on him at any second. Where was it? Had it simply flown off? Then he heard a sickening gurgle, and his stomach dropped. He turned slowly toward the regeneration blister and found the bird staring at him, along with two other birds that had just been extruded from the break in the membrane. More dark shapes were inside the pod, stirring and wriggling toward the exit that Will's foot had conveniently provided. Of course, he couldn't just wake up one Stymphalian bird. He had to go and wake up an entire flock, the very same creatures that had tormented him and his mom in Washington Square Park. "Oh, no," he said. I don't suppose we can talk about this." The demonic bird screeched and lifted into the blood-red sky, more and more of them pouring out of the broken pod. Will tried to run up the rest of the slippery slope. He darted to the left and dodged more bubbles, hoping to put some distance between him and the winged terrors. He had never wanted to be a fighter. Not in the Battle of Manhattan or the siege of Camp Half-Blood, not even in Nero's Tower. He loved being a healer. Yet, here he was, alone on a hill in Tartarus, surrounded by vicious Stymphalian birds. Why, oh why, hadn't he honed his archery skills? Why had he not considered that he might get separated from Nico and would need his own weapon? He heard fluttering above, close above. He dove to the ground, but it was pointless. A group of birds attacked him, pecking his scalp and tugging at his clothes. "No," he cried out. "Go away, find someone else to attack." But there was no one else. And even if his screams woke up his boyfriend, Nico would never be able to reach Will in time to help. As he tried to crawl away, he realized he never should have left Nico's side. He shouldn't have been so arrogant and reckless. The Stymphalian birds pulled out his sleeves, his shoes, the hems of his shorts. His backpack was ripped off his shoulders. Will curled up as tightly as he could, but he knew it wouldn't help. Those bronze beaks could tear him to shreds. But why weren't they? More and more of the creatures swirled around him, cawing with exultation, pecking at his clothes, and then Will was rising. The cursed birds weren't trying to kill him. They were lifting him off the ground. He screamed, but it did no good. He swatted at the birds and kicked his legs, but the flock was everywhere now, a living cloud of angry feathers and claws. As they carried him up and away, 5 feet off the ground, 10 feet, 15, he looked down in despair, hoping Nico had heard the noise and was coming to his rescue. But instead, he saw something even more terrifying than his own predicament. Crouched near the boat, as if getting ready to lift it, was a tall creature with furry legs and pointy horns. Then Will was swallowed in a black storm of feathers and transported into the poisonous skies of Tartarus. Chapter 33. When Nico woke from his nightmares, he was convinced he had fallen into another dream. He didn't know if Nyx was still trying to invade his subconscious to do whatever it was she was doing. That still confused Nico. Was she trying to draw him into a trap? If so, did she not realize she didn't have to? Nico would have come for Bob regardless, so the whole thing was perplexing. His nightmares were weirdly predictable. It was as if his brain were a magic eight ball and someone had shaken it, plucked whatever memory floated to the surface, and then twisted it, warping the past to fit the same dream narrative. Nico needed to listen. He needed to tell the truth. Blah, blah, blah. It was all very repetitive, and he much preferred his usual chaotic dreams over this. So when he opened his eyes and found himself in a dark space, he wasn't frightened or startled. It was merely the next chapter in his boring dream journey. Was he back in the jar? Who was going to open it this time? More light came in, and Nico blinked as his eyes adjusted to the shadow above him. Well, partial shadow. There was still a red haze everywhere. Wait, he was in Tartarus, and was that Will's face? No, he thought he could make out horns. Maybe this wasn't a dream after all. Nico rubbed at his cheeks and sat up, promptly smacking his head on something that fell away from him. The horned figure grunted. Why were you under a boat? What? Said Nico. Just to his left was a lone Kit Kat bar. Where had that come from? And then he saw the white boat on the ground behind him. The boat. For some reason, Nico had been sleeping underneath the canoe Gragira had lent them. Had they crashed? No, not that Nico remembered. He'd been with Will when... Will! Where was Will? Nico felt panic rising in him as he quickly sprang upright, his sword in his hand. Who are you? The creature stared at him in confusion. He looked like Grover. So, a satyr? No, his horns were strangely shaped. They were much, much bigger than any Nico had ever seen, and they curled up on the sides of the creature's face, which was that of a pale human with boyish features. Below the neck, he quickly became. Actually, Nico wasn't sure. He was furry like satyrs usually were, and there were hooves at the end of his two legs. Was he part goat? Part sheep? Around his waist, he wore only a long, tattered cloth held in place by a thick band of leather. The satyrish being looked down at the boat, then back to Nico. Have you seen the child? The what? Nico said. The child, I'm looking for him. I'm supposed to protect him. Protect, not eat, thought Nico. Well, that was a point in his favor. Nico scanned the grim landscape that extended in every direction. Was the creature talking about Will? Nico didn't see his companion anywhere. Where had he gone? The creature shook his head. I keep losing him. One second I think I have him, then boom, gone. Who are you? Asked Nico. I am Amphithemes, he said. And you? He narrowed his eyes. Are you the child? No, I'm Nico, not a child. Would you help me find the child? Nico's nerves prickled along his skin. Something about this seemed very, very wrong. Speaking of finding someone, have you seen my boyfriend? He asked. Tall, bushy blonde hair, looks like both a camp counselor and a surfer. Maybe we can help each other. Amphithemes shook his head. I am not sure I know what a surfer is, but I have seen no one. He shuffled in place, scraping one of his hooves against the dirt. I have not seen anyone else in a very long time. Nico thought of Gorgira's loneliness, and a pang of sadness hit him. Amphithemes was even deeper in the underworld than she was. No kidding, he said. Gods, where is Will? He wouldn't just wander off. Perhaps he too is looking for this child, said Amphithemes, his face lighting up. No, said Nico sadly. He bent down and picked up the Kit Kat bar. We're looking for someone else. He didn't want to reveal too much to this stranger, especially when he knew so little about the creature. He took a step closer to Amphithemes and examined his face. If you don't mind me asking, he said, what kind of being are you? You remind me a little of a centaur, I know, but you don't walk on four legs, so a satyr? I am actually both, he said. A Lamian centaur in name, but more like a satyr in nature. In fact, that is how I found you. We satyrs have a knack for finding demigods. That was true. Grover had found a number of them over the years, and satyrs were known for bringing unclaimed demigods to camp. Can you sense another demigod nearby? Nico asked excitedly. He's a son of Apollo. Apollo? Amphithemes sniffed the air. The scent is light, perhaps too light. But yes, there is another demigod in the vicinity. Excellent. Can you help me track him down? Then maybe both of us can help you find this child. But Amphithemes was still sniffing the air. Suddenly, he lunged at Nico and began smelling his neck. Nico jumped back. What are you doing?
I smell him on you, said Amphithemes. And others. Other living things who are
lost. Children. I smell children. At that, he shook his head violently.
No, no, I must find the children. Must find them.
Nico kept backing away, his hands up. I'm sorry, he said. I haven't seen or been around any children lately. I'm just looking for my boyfriend. Amphithemes glared at him. Which god is your parent? Well, it's...
Answer me, boy!
Amphithemes demanded, his eyes flashing red. I refuse to help a son of Zeus or Hera.
Then don't worry, my father is Hades.
Hades? At the mention of the god of the underworld and the dead, Amphithemes visibly calmed, his shoulders drooping.
Oh, well, that is fine.
Nico finally stopped backing away from him. Why not Zeus or Hera?
The child,
Amphithemes muttered.
Zeus sent me after the child, and I think I lost him. Can't find him. Can't find him. Where is the child?
Nico stepped closer.
And Hera?
The Lamian centaur gave him a rage-filled look.
She interfered. She turned me into this.
He gestured at his body.
I was once a river spirit, incorporeal. And now I'm part human, part ox, and...
Amphithemes was lost in thought again. He started circling Nico, mumbling to himself. How long has he been down here? Nico wondered. If Zeus had sent Amphithemes to guard a child, he'd clearly failed. But who did Zeus want to protect? And why were they down in Tartarus? Nico hadn't really interacted with Hera, but he knew enough to fear her temper. So that checked out. But there wasn't enough time to put all the pieces together. Nico had to find Will.
What if we help each other?
He suggested once more, to get Amphithemes back on track.
I think that would be beneficial to both of us. Yes, yes, said the centaur. Yes, two are better than one, and two can find the child. Well, it can be three if you help me find Will first. Three for the child, said Amphithemes, and he scratched at his chin. Yes, much better odds of finding him. Without warning, the centaur sniffed near Nico's neck again. It was definitely not Nico's favorite thing. But he didn't want to upset Amphithemes, especially if the centaur could help track down Will. After a few seconds, Amphithemes turned his nose up into the air. Oh, yes, I think he is close, he said. Very. The centaur's movements were jerky. He lurched to the side and ran to the bank of the Acheron. I know, he said to the water. I have made many mistakes, but I think they shall be no more. I will succeed this time. He waved at Nico, beckoning him. Come, he said. We must cross the River of Pain to get to him. Nico hesitated. He didn't think Will would have gone that way. How could he have crossed without a boat? Then again, this was Tartarus. It was entirely possible that Will's mental stamina was not what Nico's was. And this place could have led him astray. Nico had a horrible thought. Had Will been drawn into the water and... He shook his head violently. No, he would not think that way. The centaur believed Will was on the other side, and it wasn't like Nico had any other information. He walked over to Amphithemes, but stopped short of the edge of the bank. So, how do we get across? Should we get the boat? The centaur looked at Nico as if he'd just spoken gibberish. We walk across, he said, like it was the most obvious thing in the world. And that is exactly what he did. There was no reluctance, no uncertainty. Amphithemes waded through the rushing water, which came up to his thighs, and then stood on the other bank, staring at Nico. Well, he said. Nico's mouth was still open. I'm sorry, did you just casually walk through the Acheron? It's fine, he said. It only affects those who need to be punished. It means nothing to me. That made no sense. The River of Pain magnified a person's mistakes and wrongdoings. Did Amphithemes mean to suggest he'd never made a single mistake in his entire life? I'm waiting, said the centaur, tapping his hoof on the ground. We must keep moving. Nico grimaced and tentatively approached the edge. Well, here goes nothing. The river whispered to him, begging him to give himself over to it. This is where you belong. Nico unwrapped the Kit Kat he was holding and greedily gobbled it up, hoping it would give him some strength. Will had to have left it for Nico. That was exactly the sort of caring thing his boyfriend would do. Nico clutched that thought tightly as he stared at the rushing waters. He recalled the nightmare Epiels had given Will. Nico jumping into the Styx, leaving Will behind. The terrible irony was not lost on Nico. Had Will left him behind? There was no point hoping an answer would come, and Amphithemes was now stomping his hoof like he was keeping time in a demonic Broadway musical. So Nico held his breath and leaped. Nico's plan had been to quickly jump to the other bank, but once his legs were submerged in the Acheron, the current grasped him and sent intrusive thoughts into his mind. Nico remembered every monster and demon he'd ever killed. He remembered the dead he had raised. He remembered all the people he'd been unable to save. Jason, Bianca, his mother. Come on, yelled Amphithemes, his hand extended. What's taking you so long? I'm losing the scent. Nico trudged his way through the River of Pain, then reached for Amphithemes' hand. The centaur pulled it back at the last second, so Nico ended up pitching forward and flopping onto the opposite bank. The child, Amphithemes said. The child! Where is the child? We'll find him, said Nico, gasping and rolling over onto his back. Just let me catch my breath first. Amphithemes danced around him, hopping from one hoof to another. Who are you? Do you know where the child is? Nico scowled at him. I already told you my name. Where did you come from? The centaur dropped to all fours and approached Nico, then sniffed his now wet jeans. You were in the river. River washed away the scent. Nico's eyes widened. What? No!
He quickly removed his bomber and held it out to Amphithemius. Smell this, Will's scent is definitely still on it.
Who is Will?
Nico scoffed. My boyfriend, remember? The centaur tentatively sniffed one of the sleeves.
Oh, yes, yes, I smell them. Children, the children are near.
And then he bolted away from Nico.
Hey, wait up!
Nico called out, pushing himself up and slipping on his jacket. He was a little woozy at first, but he soon found his footing and chased after Amphithemius. The centaur was running wildly, his nose in the air, sniffing every which way. Why would Nico's boyfriend have come this direction?
Oh, well, he thought, what ridiculous idea did you get in your head?
Then, what ridiculous idea did this place put in your head? Amphithemius darted helter-skelter, sniffing every rock and bone they passed. He muttered to himself the whole time, and Nico couldn't make out what he was saying. He seemed determined. This mission Zeus had given him was clearly his sole purpose in life. It wasn't like Zeus handed out assignments regularly, so it had to be important to find this child.
Here, here,
said Amphithemius loudly. And he came to a grouping of stones, each of them pitch black like volcanic rock.
The child was here.
Nico panted as he walked up to him.
Will was here. The children were here.
Nico wasn't quite sure what he was looking for, or at, for that matter. Where had these stones come from? Unlike where Nico had been when he'd woken up, there was nothing else here on this flat plain. Nico twisted around and peered back at the river. He could still see the boat on the other side, and off to his right was a set of hills. He thought he saw movement there. Was he imagining it? Maybe Tartarus was playing tricks on his mind already. He gazed back at the volcanic rocks, and this time, he was sure he saw something move. And it looked like a mouth snapping shut. Nico froze and focused on the spot.
Shh, he said to Amphithemius. I think something is here.
There was a soft rustling sound, and out of the corner of his eye, he spied something dart past. Nico was only quick enough to catch a pack of shadows moving together into the distance.
This isn't Will, said Nico.
He's not here.
Who's Will?
Said Amphithemius, scowling at Nico.
Who are you?
What?
Amphithemius took a tentative step forward.
I'm trying to find the child. I think I lost him. Do you know where he is?
Nico squeezed his eyes shut, then opened them.
Am I dreaming?
This is a dream, isn't it?
Do you have him? Amphithemius snarled. You have him, don't you?
Nico began to back away.
I don't know who you're talking about. The centaur's eyes widened. I know his name, Dionysus.
The ground rumbled underneath Nico's feet, but he remained frozen in place.
What did you say? Dionysus.
Amphithemius' tone was more certain.
Yes, yes, the baby Dionysus.
No, 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 thought Nico. This is a dream. This is Nyx. She's trapped me in another nightmare.
Without a word, Nico turned and ran. He ignored Amphithemius shouting and pumped his legs, his boots slapping the dirt. He tried to leap as far as he could from the bank of the Acheron, but both his feet slammed into the water. The voices cried out, first in shock, then in oozing relief, grateful that Nico had returned. They begged him to join the others, to cleanse himself of all he'd done wrong, but he slogged through the current, stumbling and getting a mouthful of the river. He spat it out, but he could still feel the poisonous thoughts slithering down his throat, begging him to stay. You deserve this. You are a murderer. You belong here. Nico climbed out the other side of the Acheron, then crawled toward the boat. He was convinced that if he reached it and returned to where he'd woken up, he would somehow break the spell Nyx had cast over him. He had to wake up. But as he grabbed the gunwale of the boat and lifted his leg to climb in, he heard a splash behind him. He spun to see Amphithemius stomping his way.
Stop running!
The Lamian centaur cried.
It's useless!
You're not real, said Nico. This is all a dream.
Amphithemius stopped short, his face aghast.
Excuse you, but I am very much real.
No, you're not.
Nico scooted backward until his legs hit the boat.
None of this is. Where is Dionysus? Where is he, boy?
At camp, Nico screamed. And he isn't a baby.
Epithemius scrunched up his eyebrows.
That is impossible. Zeus ordered me to protect the child. It is my sacred duty.
Nico was at a loss. Epithemius, he's grown up. He's been grown up for thousands of years. He's the director of a camp for demigods.
The centaur shook his head.
No. No, he isn't.
I don't know what else to tell you. I literally just saw him a few days ago, and he's very much not a child.
I don't understand, Epithemius said.
And he grabbed his own horns, then began to pull on them.
What you are saying makes no sense.
I'm sorry, said Nico, full of pity for Epithemius, who was on a fool's errand and didn't even know it.
What you're saying makes no sense to me either.
Epithemius looked like he was about to burst into tears.
But Zeus said, and I...
He fell to his knees in despair.
Nico rose.
This was wrong. It felt so cruel. But he also didn't understand it.
Before, when Nyx and Epiels had crafted Nico's nightmares, they'd used his existing memories. Yet all this was new. He had never met Epithemius before. So why send him these images? What was Nyx trying to do?
He approached the centaur.
Hey,
Nico said, his hands open in front of him.
I'm sorry, I ran because I was scared. But I'm not scared of you. It's just the situation that frightened me.
Did I fail?
Epithemius sobbed.
Did I fail the child?
No, said Nico. You didn't. Dionysus is healthy and happy now.
Well, Nico wasn't sure the god was all that happy as the camp director, but he didn't think this was the right time to share that observation.
You promise?
I do. He's perfectly fine.
Nico held out his hand to the centaur, who examined it for a moment.
Okay,
he said, and he reached out so Nico could hoist him to his hoofs, and his hand went right through Nico's. It was a strange sensation, but unfortunately, a familiar one. One he'd experienced numerous times here in the underworld, and even a few times above ground. It was the feeling of a soul passing through a body. Nico yelped and jerked his hand back, which only upset Epithemius more.
You said you weren't afraid of me, he bellowed. That was clearly a lie.
Many things dawned on Nico at once.
Epithemius was dead. Completely and utterly dead. And yet, he was the most mortal-looking soul Nico had ever seen. Nico was not dreaming. This was real. Very real. And Epithemius was... No, even thinking it seemed impossible. But then the centaur's eyes flashed red once again, and a look of righteous anger passed over his face.
The child, said Epithemius. Where is he?
Nico remained still. He's not here.
The centaur tilted his head to the side.
Who are you? Do you know where the child is?
It finally came together.
Epithemius was a soul, obsessed with a task he could not complete. One he had died without fulfilling. And now he was repeating that obsession here in Tartarus, in a never-ending cycle.
I need to find him, said Epithemius,
spinning in circles.
He stilled,
then focused his blood-red eyes on Nico.
You have him, don't you? Give him back!
The centaur screamed and leaped at Nico, and as the demigod dove out of the way, he knew the truth for certain. Epithemius was a mania.
Chapter 34. As Will struggled against the bird's sharp talons, trying to free himself, his mind went back to the hypothetical brochure. See Tartarus from up high. Complimentary transportation via Stymphalian birds. He tried to twist around to catch a glimpse of Gorgira's white canoe, desperate to know if Nico was okay. But the birds dipped and guided him farther away. Below him, The landscape was covered in zits, craggy hills, and shadows of creatures Will couldn't identify.
Okay, this has been fun, he called out. Love the view. You can let me down now.
He swung an arm out and smacked one of the pigeons, which caused it to let go. The flock began to veer slightly to the right. Without any hesitation, he whacked another bird, and as he'd predicted, the flock moved even more sharply to the right. He was steering them. Will imagined himself as a captain of the sky as he hit pigeons off his right shoulder until he'd guided them back in the direction he'd come from. But more Stymphalian birds flew in, grabbing at his t-shirt, and he heard a tearing sound.
Oh no, he said. Please don't.
A few hundred yards short of his goal, he could see his backpack sitting near a large rock. Will's shirt ripped completely off. The birds flew away with its remains without missing a wingbeat. Will plummeted, the ground rushing up to meet him. Love how much falling I'm doing on this quest, Will thought. Maybe I should teach a class at Camp Half-Blood on how to fall. Oh, how he missed Camp Half-Blood. Thankfully, his fall was broken by a large monster zit. He bounced off it and hit another enormous pod like he was inside a pinball machine. Yet, his relief over not plunging to his death was quickly negated by what tore itself out of the first pimple he'd crashed into. Will saw a human hand claw through the membrane, followed by the snarling head of a dog. A cynocephalus, those terrible dog-headed men who'd allied with Octavian and Nero. And now here was one with their eyes locked on Will, sharp fangs snapping. If he didn't get out of here now, he was certain to become demigod coleslaw. Yet, as he turned and scrambled away, he saw more zits burst, saw more dog-headed monstrosities rip their way into Tartarus, saw a cloud of Stymphalian birds heading his way. He was but one demigod in a soup of monsters. Will heard the cynocephalus snarl, and he dove for a nearby boulder, flattening himself against the craggy ground. His heart beat so hard, he was certain the monsters would be able to locate him from all the thumping. He'd made a terrible mistake. He never should have left Nico's side. Never. How had he let this place get to him so quickly? He'd only been here a few minutes before it had put thoughts in his head. Just like Percy, Annabeth, and Nico had warned. And now, he was in the midst of a disaster. Something had found Nico, and Will couldn't do anything about it because dog-headed monstrosities were regenerating all around him. More of the pods popped. More creatures slithered to the ground. More cynocephali growled close by. Will crawled forward and peeked around the edge of the stone he was hiding behind. A group of slimy, goo-covered cynocephali sniffed the ground about 20 or 30 yards away. One of them pawed at a regeneration bubble until it ripped open and another member of the pack was spat out. They were growing in numbers. Will had no weapon and no hope. He sat up and pressed his back against the stone, then covered his mouth with his hand to mask his breathing. With his other hand, he grabbed Nico's skull ring on its chain. He clutched it tightly. I'm sorry, Nico, he thought. I'm sorry I let you down. There was a bright flash overhead, followed by a vicious cry. Will waited for the cynocephali to find him, desperately hoping he would think of a plan before then. While dodging the spirit's attack, Nico hit the ground hard, knocking the breath out of him, but he couldn't stop moving. He rolled to his feet and unsheathed his Stygian iron sword. But how was it supposed to help? Only imperial gold could destroy Manius, and Amphithemes wasn't even solid. In all his years, Nico had never heard of a mania in the form of a soul. What was he supposed to do? Amphithemes let loose a guttural growl. Give me the child. You cannot keep him from me. He swiped at Nico, who ducked and brought his sword down on the centaur's arm. And unfortunately, his weapon passed straight through the appendage. As expected. Nico swore. Stay still, Amphithemes ordered. Nico decided to do just that. Why am I trying to fight him, he thought. He can't even touch me. He lowered his sword until the tip of it touched the ground. I don't have the child, said Nico. There isn't one anymore. Amphithemis, just think for a moment. You're in Tartarus. Only one type of person ends up here. The centaur actually appeared to consider this for a few seconds, before he shook his head angrily. I won't be fooled by your tricks, demigod, he spat. If the dead are the only ones here, then why are you standing before me, using your magic so I cannot strike you? Damn, said Nico. I hadn't thought of that. Amphithemius raised his arm to bring it down on Nico's head. The demigod didn't even wince. He knew what was going to happen. Amphithemius' hand would pass through him, and they'd be back at square one. So he didn't brace himself before Amphithemius raked his nails over Nico's face. Nico cried out and stumbled back. His hand flew to his cheek, which was wet with blood. Amphithemius looked just as shocked as Nico, but he soon closed his mouth and squinted at him.
Who are you?
He asked.
Do you know where Dionysus is?
Nico slowly stuck his hand in his jeans pocket, ran his bloody fingers over the coin's embossing.
I don't know where you are, Will, he thought, but I'm going to find you.
Amphithemius hunched over and held up his hands in an offensive posture. Don't move, he said.
I don't know who you are, but I know you have the child.
The centaur launched himself toward Nico, and Nico turned and started sprinting. He gripped the coin tightly as he headed for the ridge in the distance. Amphithemius screamed as he chased him, and Nico knew he wouldn't be able to outrun a centaur. It was only a matter of time before he got caught. He had no plan. He had a sword that was useless. Will was missing, and they weren't any closer to finding Bob or Nix. On the ridge, there was a bright flash, and Nico saw numerous dark shapes converging on a single point.
Will, he breathed.
It had to be him. He only managed a few more steps before Amphithemius tackled him from behind. Will heard a splatter from behind the rock. He nearly jumped in fright. Next there was a sickening tearing sound, then a pained cry. Had the cynocephali found another victim first? Were they eating each other? He fleetingly wondered if this had bought him some time, and he suddenly knew he couldn't just sit there and wait for them to attack first. He was a demigod, the son of Apollo, and his boyfriend needed him now. There was another grouping of stones a few yards away, so Will pressed his hands and feet into the ground and sprang forward, racing to the rocks and diving behind them. He was overjoyed to see his backpack sitting there, and he quickly pulled out his hoodie and put it on. Then he hoisted the pack onto his shoulders. Another bright flash illuminated his surroundings, so Will poked his head above the rock. He could not believe what he saw. An entire pack of cynocephali were fighting a large, translucent, glowing cat. The feline hissed and growled at one of the dog-headed monsters, then swiped an enormous paw at it, drawing blood. The big cat leaped onto the cynocephalus and tore at its neck, then jumped out of the way as another member of the pack tried to attack. The cynocephalus on the ground jerked around a bit, and then its body dissolved. The cat turned in Will's direction, and he was able to see its fierce front fangs, which hung down below its bottom jaw, red with the blood of cynocephali. It had a spotted pattern over its coat, making it look a whole lot like a... Wait. Like a saber-toothed tiger.
Small Bob?
Will said, rising. The feline's ears perked up, and then it bounded in his direction. For a moment, Will believed he'd made yet another terrible mistake, but the cat skidded to a stop in front of him and shrank. Seconds later, it was a cat. A regular house cat with an orange and brown calico coat. And it was purring, slipping in and out of Will's legs.
You're kidding me,
muttered Will. He wanted to kneel down and pet it because it was evil not to pet a cat that was being so friendly. But he had a more immediate problem to deal with. The other cynocephali were closing in. The lead one lifted its top lip in a growl as it advanced. Will quickly counted. And once he got to 12, he realized that maybe he had a better use for his time.
Small Bob, he said.
If you can understand me, I need you to do that saber-toothed tiger thing again. The cat purred and rubbed his head on Will's leg. Right now would be great, Small Bob meowed. Any second now? The cynocephaly circled Will, and the leader lowered its head, preparing to pounce. Please don't scratch me, said Will as he bent down and picked up Small Bob. He pressed the cat to his chest with his hand covering Small Bob's other ear, and with his free hand he put his fingers to his lips. The lead cynocephalus leaped at him, and Will let loose an ear-splitting whistle. The cynocephalus dropped in mid-jump and cried out in pain while the flock of Stymphalian birds fell from the air. The rest of the dog-headed men tumbled all over themselves and one another, giving Will what he needed, a temporary advantage. He let go of Small Bob, who jumped out of Will's arms. Before the cat hit the ground, there was a flash, and Will could see the skeletal outline of Small Bob as he grew. His legs and paws and body swelling and elongating until a full-fledged saber-toothed tiger hit the packed earth. Small Bob wasted no time. He decimated as many cynocephali as he could while they were incapacitated, and Will stood there in shock, watching the spirit-like cat lay waste to nearly a full pack of dog-headed monsters. Blood spilled on the ground, and the dead cynocephali disappeared, sent back to regenerate here in Tartarus again. Small Bob had killed nearly all the creatures when a new sound rang out from down the hill. A voice. Get back here, it snarled. And there, darting in between some intact regeneration pods, was Nico and his glowing purple sword. Nico! Will called out, his heart leaping in both excitement and terror. He briefly glanced back to Small Bob, who was fighting three cynocephali at once. You seem to be doing just fine here, Will told the cat. I'm gonna go save my boyfriend. Small Bob roared. Will thought it sounded a lot like a roar of encouragement. Will sprinted down the hill, nearly colliding with Nico moments later. To his dismay, Nico's face was red, and there were three slash marks on his left cheek. Will wanted to sweep his boyfriend up in his arms, shower him with kisses and hugs and healing, but there was no time for that. The creature he'd seen lifting Nico's boat earlier was now at the bottom of the hill and rapidly approaching. Where is the child? It demanded. Where is he? Nico grasped Will's hand the second he was within reach, but he didn't stop moving. He yanked Will up the incline, practically pulling the son of Apollo's arm out of its socket. Ow! Will cried. Nico, what's going on? What child is he talking about? Not enough time, Nico screamed. Go! Will followed Nico up the hill, where, unfortunately, they were met with another chaotic scene. Small Bob had indeed taken out two more cynocephali, but now he was limping. His front left leg was injured. Even worse, though, was the revolting sound of more regeneration pods tearing open, their contents spilling out. The demigods stumbled to a stop. Will, what is happening? Nico asked, panting. At the sound of Nico's voice, Small Bob turned his head. Without any hesitation, he turned back into a calico cat and bounded over to Nico, limping the whole time. He leaped onto Nico's leg and climbed it. The cat settled on Nico's shoulders. I'm sorry, is this? Said Nico. Nico, meet Small Bob, said Will. Small Bob, you seem to already know who this is. Stop! Will turned to see an out-of-breath satyr trudging up to them. At least he thought it was a satyr. But why were its horns so big? Don't move, panted the creature. I need to find the child. Will looked from this newcomer to the one remaining cynocephalus, who examined them all and clearly realized that he was outnumbered. He slunk away to a freshly burst pod and lay down to wait for his packmates to revive. I am so lost, said Will. What child? Will, meet Amphithemis, said Nico. He's looking for Dionysus. Yes, said Amphithemis, standing upright. Yes, I'm looking for the child. Have you seen him? Just for the record, said Will. That didn't help me understand this any better. Nico, now cradling small Bob, leaned closer and whispered a single word in his ear. Mania. Will's eyes opened wide, and he cautiously watched Amphithemia's pace back and forth.
Zeus will be so angry with me, the newcomer said. So angry, I cannot disappoint him.
Zeus?
Will glanced at Nico.
I'm still confused.
Not now, Nico said. What are we supposed to do about them? Nico jerked his head to the right, and Will's heart sank when he saw that 5 regenerated cynocephali had appeared. They would soon be ready to mount an attack. And Will still had no idea what to do about the odd standoff they were in. Nico had a sword, at least, but small Bob was licking his injured paw. Would the cat even be able to fight again? And where were all those awful pigeons? Will looked back at the pacing satyr creature, and once the idea came to him, he just acted.
They have him, said Will, pointing to the cynocephali. They took the child.
Nico gripped Will's hand.
What are you doing?
Will ignored him.
Those dog-headed creatures, he insisted.
They stole Dionysus. Amphithemia seemed to raise himself higher.
The child, he said softly,
and then his face transformed into a portrait of fury. His eyes flashed red, and he said,
They have the child, don't they?
Will nodded.
You have to save him.
Will, don't, Nico began, but the son of Apollo lunged at Amphithemia.
Go, he bellowed. What are you waiting for?
With a terrible shriek, the satyr creature launched himself at the waiting cynocephali, snarling and biting and slashing with his nails. Will watched as Amphithemia chased the retreating monsters, a swarm of murder pigeons above his head, shouting about a child and Zeus. Soon, they were all just a distant echo. Will slumped against Nico, resting his head on his boyfriend's shoulder.
Nico, I'm sorry, he said, wasting no time in addressing his regret. I shouldn't have left you.
Nico pulled away.
Why did you do that?
Leave you? Because you were sleeping, and I thought...
No, I mean just now. Why did you send Amphithemia after them?
He scratched small Bob behind the ear.
It's not his fault he's the way he is.
What are you talking about? I just saved us.
But now he's going to continue wandering Tartarus forever, said Nico. His spirit has clearly been trapped down here for millennia.
Will's mouth dropped open.
What was I supposed to do? You told me he was a mania. I thought they were bad.
Nico sighed.
I mean, sometimes, yeah.
Like when Reyna's father lost it and she had to kill him, but it's not like they can help it. I could have.
You could have done what, Nico? Said Will. You don't have any imperial gold. What exactly were you planning on doing?
I don't know, said Nico. I didn't really get a chance to think about it since you sent him off after a bunch of monsters.
So why are you mad at me?
Who said I'm mad?
Nico yelled. Well, excuse me for trying to save our lives,
snapped Will.
I'm sorry, weren't you the one who abandoned me under a boat?
The guilt smacked Will in the chest, and he tried to swallow it down deeper.
Look, I'm sorry, he said quickly. I was trying to...
And what exactly could you have done? Nico shot back.
You left me alone and defenseless.
Nico's eyes filled with tears, and Will's stomach sank.
Nico, I'm sorry, he said again quickly. I don't know what came over me. I just got this idea in my head. It came so easily, and it was like I couldn't think of anything else.
Hot tears poured down his own face.
I thought if I found something that could bring us to Bob, you'd be proud of me. It was so stupid, I know. I never should have left you, but I didn't realize that this place had tricked me until I was surrounded, and...
Then he burst into sobs, fear burning through him. He had lost Nico, hadn't he? He'd made a mistake so awful that Nico was going to leave him behind, abandon him in this terrible nightmare, and he deserved it. He'd earned it. This was where he was supposed to be. And? Nico put small Bob on the ground and approached. He wrapped his arms around Will and held him while he wept into Nico's shoulder. Will let it all out until he had basically soaked Nico's bomber jacket with tears and snot. "I'm sorry," said Nico. "I shouldn't have snapped at you. The truth is, I figured this place had gotten to you and you hadn't actually abandoned me." Will pulled away, sniffled, then wiped his nose with the back of his hand.
"I did leave you a Kit Kat bar."
Nico barked a laugh. "You did," he said. "And it was delicious, thank you." Nico helped him sit down next to one of the rocks he had hidden behind, and Small Bob came scampering over, leaping into Will's lap. The cat immediately began purring so loud and hard that he kind of felt like a portable massage gun, which Will's sore legs absolutely needed. While Small Bob got settled, Will told Nico everything that had happened since they'd been separated, including his brief flight on Stymphalian Airlines. "I don't know how you managed alone," he said after catching Nico up. "I was by myself for maybe 20 minutes, and I thought I was never going to survive this place." "Well, we still have farther to go," said Nico. "So don't get too excited." "Does it feel weird to be back here?" Nico surveyed the lava plains in the distance. "A little," he said, his eyes aglow in the light of the burning magma. "But it's also, I don't know, familiar? I spent a lot of time here, so I'm not sure there's much that can surprise me anymore." He chuckled. "Well, I guess I can't say that. I've never seen a mania spirit before." "I'm sorry I acted without thinking it all the way through," said Will. "You were right. Empathemes doesn't deserve a fate like that. His soul should be put to rest." "Well, I don't even know how I would do that," said Nico. "And at least we're safe, for the moment." He looked around suspiciously at the nearest regeneration pods. Will sat forward and rummaged through his knapsack until he grabbed hold of his medkit. After pulling it out, he situated himself so that he was facing Nico's left side, while Small Bob hopped into Nico's lap. "Let me get those scratches on your cheek," Will said, opening some antiseptic pads to disinfect his hands. "How'd you get them?" "Ugh," Nico groaned. "Empathemes," Will paused. "But I thought you said he was a spirit." "He was, but he became solid when he was angry at me. Hence these." Will frowned. The boundaries between life and death, solid and incorporeal, seemed so blurry here. Tartarus and the underworld were not as black and white as he'd thought. He told Nico to hold still, then delicately dabbed at the cuts on his face. Nico jerked a bit at first, but mostly cooperated while Will cleaned the gashes. Will gave Nico a sip of nectar, applied ointment to reduce scarring, and held gauze against the area, humming while he did so. It was another melody his mother had composed long, long before Will had been born, but it was a comforting one. As he did so, Nico pressed his cheek into Will's hand and closed his eyes. They remained like that for a while. The only sounds, Small Bob's rhythmic purring and Will's haunting, healing melody. Will loved how at peace Nico looked, especially since it was so rare that he ever did. He was always scowling or fretting about something wrong in the world around him. But right here, right now, Nico was in the moment, and it gave Will a sense of accomplishment. He also hoped Nico believed that Will would never actually abandon him. Guilt still ate at Will, even as he removed the gauze pad and admired his work. The cuts had mostly healed, but Nico could end up with some light scarring on his cheek. Later, he would ask Nico if he wanted them erased, but Will suspected Nico was going to be okay with him. They kind of added a bit of mystique to his face. And it was a nice face, too. Nico's eyes fluttered open, and Will gazed deep into them. "I'm sorry," he whispered. Nico shook his head. "No, no, we're not doing that again," he said. "I know you didn't mean to leave, and I know you were still looking out for me, or else you wouldn't have left that Kit Kat behind. Will leaned against the rock and wiped sweat from his face, a wave of exhaustion pouring over his body.
Okay, he said. Do you mind if I rested for a moment just to recuperate a little before we go on?
Nico nodded, then looped his arm around Will's shoulder, pulling him in so that Will's head came to rest on Nico's sternum. Small Bob, still curled up in Nico's lap, remained alert. This was hardly a safe place for them to stop. Will knew, and they had to stay vigilant. But for now, he let Nico and Small Bob keep watch as Will drifted off to sleep to the calming rise and fall of Nico's breathing. Chapter 35. Nico didn't know what to do or where to go next. The lava fields churned below him, and the land sloped gently downward. Manites had told him to follow the trail to the left until you reach the swamp, but Nico hadn't found any such trail yet. Nico assumed, though, that they needed to go deeper into Tartarus. Were they headed to the doors? Was that where Nix had Bob imprisoned? The ground shuddered, and Nico waited to see if Will would wake up, but he continued to snooze soundlessly. Had that shudder been Tartarus taking a breath? He hoped the Protogenos would remain in slumber. He had no desire to face him like Percy and Annabeth had, especially not since he already had Nix to contend with. He wondered if Nix had sent Amphithemius his way. He hadn't told Will this part, but manias were technically born from her. It was possible that the centaur's arrival had been a coincidence, but Nico couldn't really believe that. At the same time, why? Why would she do that if she was waiting to torment Nico herself? That part didn't make sense. Shouldn't she want him to reach her as quickly as possible? It was yet another unknown among so many others. He ran his fingers through Will's hair, and his boyfriend stirred. "Shh," said Nico. "Go back to sleep. We're safe for now." Will yawned. "Nah," he said, rubbing his eyes. "I just needed a quick nap." He sat up slowly, and Small Bob woke up too, arching his back and yawning. Nico noticed that Will's skin looked a little waxy, like it had in the underworld prior to them finding Gorgira. "Eat some ambrosia," said Nico. "Please?" Will smiled at him. "Your cheek looks better," he said, rummaging in his knapsack. "And the scars might be kind of cute." Nico rolled his eyes. "Don't start with that." "Well, it's true." He munched on an ambrosia square. "It'll also make you more intimidating." "Now that is much more interesting," Nico said. "I could always go for more intimidating." Will scoffed. "Like you need it." The two of them sat in silence as they watched the spurting, hissing magma. It was Will who vocalized what Nico had just been thinking. "I don't know what we should do next, Nico," he said. "This place, it feels like it goes on forever. I know, it's hard to wrap your mind around. Now I get what you meant before about how Tartarus presses down on your spirit. I don't know how else to describe it, but it's heavy." Nico nodded. "I know this is hard for you," he said, "being down here for all this time, but you're doing pretty well, all things considered." "You think so?" Nico leaned over and kissed Will's temple. "Yeah, I do." "I think we are doing well," Will said. "You realize we basically just had our first real fight, right?" Nico raised an eyebrow at Will.
"Did we?"
"I don't know. Things felt a little intense before I fell asleep." "They did," said Nico.
"I was annoyed and scared and confused."
Will cuddled closer.
"Me too, Nico. And it's like this place is pushing us to that point." "Yeah, it does that."
He went quiet.
"And I think it's worse when you're alone."
Will sighed.
"I'm really sorry I left you."
Nico leaned away.
No, that's not what I was referring to. I was talking about the time I was here before."
"Oh," said Will, and his face fell.
It's one thing to hear you talk about it, and another to actually experience it. You were in Tartarus for days. I've been here maybe a few hours, and I'm already losing it. No, you're not, said Nico. And then much quieter. Not yet, at least. Will pushed himself up and held out his hand. Then we keep an eye on each other, he said. Deal, said Nico, taking Will's hand. Will struggled a bit, helping Nico up, but brushed it off with a dismissive wave. I'm fine, he said, just tired. This is me keeping an eye on you, Nico said, smirking. Are you okay? Will grimaced. Better than before, I guess, but I haven't been without the sun this long in my entire life, and it's starting to wear me down. Nico knelt and pulled the sun therapy globe from Will's knapsack. Then maybe it's time for you to recharge, Will laughed. Oh, I'd forgotten about that. He took the globe from Nico and switched it on. Nothing happened. Batteries must have drained, he said. They were new, too. He tossed the globe to Nico, then dug around in his bag for the second extra set he brought. But even after replacing the dead ones, the globe didn't turn on. Nico frowned. Maybe it got damaged. There was a moment when Nico thought that Will was about to panic, but the son of Apollo quickly smiled and put the globe away. Perhaps we should just get going, then. The sooner we find Bob, the sooner we can leave, right? True, said Nico. But I don't actually know how to get out of Tartarus yet, though. We'll figure it out later. Will turned around and looked out toward the boat. What should we do with that? Good point, said Nico. I'm not sure. I guess we're supposed to take it with us, or maybe come back to it. But we have no idea how far we're going, said Will. I know. I just wish I knew the way to Damison's hut. Where's the swamp? There was a loud meow at Nico's feet. He looked down at small Bob, who yowled again. What? Said Nico. Are you hungry? Thirsty? Small Bob meowed, then darted down the hill toward the boat. What's he doing? Asked Will. I don't know, I don't speak cat. Ha ha, you know that isn't what I meant. Small Bob stopped just past a couple of craters left behind by exploded regeneration pots. He let loose a long meow, then trotted away again. I can't believe I'm going to say this, said Will. But does he want us to follow him? I've seen stranger things in Tartarus, said Nico. Let's go. Nico took Will's hand and led the way as they chased Small Bob. Every so often, the calico would pause and look back at the two of them, which pretty much confirmed Will's theory. At the same time, Nico resisted the urge to celebrate. It was possible that Small Bob knew where his companion was, but it was just as possible that the cat was leading them somewhere else. However, it wasn't like Nico and Will had a ton of information to go on. Moments later, they arrived at Gorgira's boat. Small Bob stood on his rear legs to try to look inside it, meowed, then sat and whipped his tail back and forth. Okay, we made it to the boat, said Will, who was slightly out of breath. Now what? Well, what did Maniti say about Damison's hut? Said Nico. He told us to follow the troglodyte shortcut to the swamp. Will raised an eyebrow. Maybe he meant that literally. Huh? Like the troglodyte shortcut was the Acheron, right? So what if we're supposed to literally follow it to the swamp? Oh! Nico widened his eyes. Because it might take us to the exact swamp he was talking about. Will nodded enthusiastically. I think that's our best option right now.
Meow!
Small Bob pawed at the air. I think Small Bob just voted yes, said Will. Let's do this then, said Nico, and he lifted the cat into the white canoe. We'll need to push it into the water together. You up for that? Will nodded, but he still looked a little sick. Keeping an eye on you, said Nico. Will swung his knapsack around and took a swig of nectar, which was the last bit left in the first of two bottles. He screwed the lid back on and put it away. Within a few seconds, the color returned to his face, and he took a deep breath. I really don't want to go back in that river,
he said. But it's now or never. Nico smiled. I'll be right there with you. That seemed to be enough for Will. He closed the distance between them and planted a kiss on Nico's lips. Together, he said. Together, Nico whispered. With Will's help, Nico dragged the boat over to the bank of the Acheron, and the agonized, pain-stricken voices called out to him once more, like he'd tuned in to the universe's worst talk radio show. He ignored them as they both shoved the canoe into the water. Nico gripped the stern as hard as he could, and Will took a deep breath before hopping in. His boyfriend gasped, grimaced, shook his head.
Hurry, Nico, he grunted. Get in.
Nico kept pushing the boat while bracing his legs on the bank, and soon it started moving, floating on the Acheron, while tormented voices called out to Nico, assuring him that he, too, would have his own place among them. He vaulted over the hole and rolled over onto his back, breathing hard.
You are the ghost, King, a voice said. I am, Nico thought. This is where you belong.
But then Nico raised his head, looked at the other two passengers. Will, whose face was strained as he reached down with a shaking hand to grab at him. Nico took it, gripped his boyfriend's hand tight, and thought, no, this is where I belong. Then Nico lay there, staring up at the blood-red sky, while the three of them drifted down the river of pain.